You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Welcome to the Big Suey, a podcast exclusive.
Risky move.
Just when you thought the show could not be more diluted.
Walk the plank.
Bam.
No more free Disney trips.
Now here's the marching band of nowhere.
Matey.
Fat face.
Dan's been stress eating.
And the habitual liar.
Stugatz can't be trusted.
The Big Suey.
Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate radio life for me.
That hit that he had on, it was kind of a dirty hit because the Tampa Bay Lightning player was like searching for his stick and then a shotgun to the chest in the form of Radko the Butcher.
I want this team to make a run for different reasons than you guys, not just because like a championship chasing sports team, even Stugatz in a sport like hockey that maybe you think has been totally dormant and dead down here in South Florida for a quarter century. There is nothing cooler than when a championship sports team in sports brings a community together with a bunch of bandwagon people who say, oh, look, I might not have cared about this before, but now I've got some expertise. I care. I've got opinions. We were robbed last night. And then that grows over the playoffs, and the games are more and more exciting, and you get scared at the end of all of these games. Nothing more terrifying, I'm telling you, than hockey at the end when a game is tied, and you can have your heart broken so quickly every time the puck's in front of your net. So the idea that we can follow this sports team with some passion and fall in love with some dudes like that, where you're like, yes, the mythology of the Butcher. Like, we don't, when's the last time we had around here somebody that we can embrace because of the mythology? We've done it for
Udonis.
A while with Udonis Haslam.
Yager.
We've done it across 20 years. What happened? Who are you picking?
Jager.
Yep. We did that.
In terms of building someone up to this mythological creature, Jager already came in with some of that, so that's maybe like a different thing. But someone that's not that good, like every championship team has like their enforcer type that's never going to make the Hall of Fame. It's got no shot.
The warden.
Yeah, something like that. A fan favorite.
An absolute fan. Maria.
Yeah. Well, no, not really.
Lusaka Polites.
Alfredo Amezaga.
That's more
Mezzi.
Yeah, that's more in line with it. Like a role player that really excites a fan base that everyone loves.
Oh, but I'm not talking about a fan favorite just by being the cute, adorable guy that everyone roots for as an underdog. I'm talking about the specifics of somebody who has a mythology of menace in sports. Like, we're always, for 20 years on ESPN, I have been doing like dark alley teams in basketball. I don't know if you guys have seen anything that was happening overnight with Kwame Brown and the thing that's happening. It's uproariously funny and parts of it are sad, but Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson, the two of them have street credibility in that sport. They are some of the guys that are not to be trifled with. You know, Kobe Bryant, people still wonder today if if Kobe Bryant was actually so brave that he could just be that close to an inbounds pass from Matt Barnes, where Matt Barnes is trying to get him to flinch by throwing the basketball right at his face, and Kobe Bryant is just staring at him. But these two guys have a certain reputation, and with Gilbert Arenas, they clowned Kwame Brown, who has been quiet as everyone has laughed at him for 15 years. I've never heard Kwame Brown speak, period. Never mind speak the way he is now speaking, where he is trashing guys reputed to be among the baddest in the league and trashing them in a way that's so deeply personal that it's like, oh my God, what are you doing? You're going after one of those guys. You saw in one of the cool things, Stugatz, if you watch the Udonis Haslam video, because of the reputation Udonis has, you saw Dwight Howard, who you always hear me say, you could park a bicycle on that dude's shoulders. You saw Dwight Howard in the face of that shrink. You saw him move.
Wanted nothing to do with Udonis.
He didn't want that in his face, and you just don't see that very often in like a hyper-masculine place where everyone's banging bodies. They're all giants. Every room they walk into, they're the biggest dudes. It's not in basketball. And they're going back and forth at it. And the test of masculinity, you saw Dwight Howard shrink in front of it from a smaller guy, a guy who was looking up to point at him. What did you make of the Kwame Brown thing after Amin gave you the context yesterday that made me deeply sad? High school kid, no infrastructure, gets into the league, doesn't know how to do anything, doesn't know how to clean his clothes, doesn't know how to do dry cleaning, is lost, and then his idol, Michael Jordan, buries him in just a heap of assholery that gets filed under tougher.
It's funny because the worst thing that happened to Kwame Brown was he was drafted number one by Michael Jordan. It seems odd, but when you look back at it, that was the worst thing because it set the bar so high for a guy that probably we should not have been setting the bar so high for. And so it's interesting, but he has every right, Dan. He played 12 years in the NBA, and so people are still talking about him. They're mocking him. They're making fun of him. He has every right to be upset, but his rebuttal needs to be a little bit better. It just does. He needs to do a better job.
There's a lot to unpack in his rebuttal, and we'll do so in a second. But to give you some of the backstory here, because the reason I'm giving you the backstory is I have rarely heard an athlete do what Kwame Brown is doing here. After a lifetime of not doing this, and it's a man fed up. It's enough is enough. I'm done being your joke. I've got nothing left to lose. And so I'm going to go at you guys so personally that it's going to be unlike anything you've heard. And I'm going to do it against two of the guys known for reputations of menace. He makes fun of their very popular Up in Smoke podcast that is very popular, at least because we know who these two guys are.
Right.
They will say anything, and they are men who are feared throughout the league. So Kwame Brown, what did Amin call him yesterday? Karl Malone Light? Diet
Karl Malone in a group chat.
He's wearing, there's a little bit of country here. I don't even know the sound we're going to play for you. There was some in a car where he is singing to Matt Barnes about the idea that Derek Fisher stole his wife and family. Like, he's going at him so personally. And all they did was mention his name, and he's done with people mentioning his name and laughing. And he goes on a meandering route through the idea, in this country, the way it is right now, you black guys are going to go after me, the black guy, on something like this and tear me down with the way this country is. And you've never heard something quite like this from an athlete, and it's an athlete who's got nothing left to lose.
Gilbert Arenas is the worst thing for he act like he like black folks. Him, Steven Jackson, all of them. And that little Matt Barnes, that little shit you did to put a battery in Jack back, that little tapping and all that little girl shit, I used to like you. But now I see you one of them confused little light-skinned that was never dark enough to hang with the blacks, so you had to act like a jackass to prove you was tough. And you was never white enough to be with the whites. So you just an angry little. And so the shit you say is always aggressive and stupid. You don't know how to respect a man in his space. I ain't never said nothing to you or about you. So to go that far and tap and do all that little girl shit, what's wrong with you? Who raised you to take food out of another man's mouth? But Gilbert Arenas, back to this fake slime ball ass again. So this is why they put like him in place, right? This is why all of them will talk about me but never invite me to their podcast. This is the second, third time they talking about me on All the Smoke. How the f*** you want All the Smoke and you ain't never invite the f- you talking about? Seem like you want some of that damn smoke. Change your podcast. The new podcast is, these f- want some of the goddamn smoke. But I want all the smoke. And Jack, your sensitive ass, you know that. Always talking so goddamn loud.
He goes after them personally. That's just the start of it. It gets much worse in there. Sexism in there. And most of us here are not qualified at all in any way to talk about light skin versus dark skin. But it's lower on the list of the stuff here that's private, personal, and insulting.
These talk about unity when a black man die. But then when somebody alive, all they do is kick, like little Jack, me and you ain't even on the same level. I know you. You pay for women. I know you very well. Buying bags and all that shit. I know you. I know a lot of you are effeminate males. So you need to quit it with me. Don't ever speak on my name in that manner. When I don't talk about you, don't speak on me. Point blank, period. That's man shit from the go. This basketball shit that we was in, this fraternity is supposed to be that. You ain't supposed to be getting podcasts to talk like and act like the rest of these that ain't in the fraternity. The is you talking about? That's what y'all want to let out for these kids to see? Ain't no in the NBA or bus. Compared to everybody else, they the best. Are there levels when you get to that level? Yes. But put some respect on people's names.
When I was listening to the whole rant, and I was riveted by it, I kept wincing at the back and forth of, ooh, that's wrong, morally wrong, the way he's saying that, what he's doing, the sexism in it, the hate in it. And also there were points where I'm like, oh, that's right. That's right. It's really hard to do what Kwame Brown did, which is climb to the top of that sport and be on the lowest rung, but make millions and millions of dollars in that sport. He is top 5% in the world of having been able to do that thing.
It can be both where you're wincing and agreeing with him at the same time. But he says they want to put that out there to the kids. Well, he just put that out there
right.
to kids.
There's ugly in it. But what you don't often see, though, is this undistilled honesty without a care. It's laugh out loud funny when he says, you haven't invited me on this podcast where you keep making fun of me. So some of the smoke you guys don't. But it's the guys he's going after, going back to the mythology and the butcher and the fun of that. The specifics of I'm watching this and it's just like. Like watching Udonis and Dwight Howard. I'm watching it and I'm like, well, nothing's going to happen to me, but why am I wincing the way I did when Udonis did this with David West? Like, I'm in my room. It's the same way that when Talib is out there snatching chains, I'm like, why? Wait a minute. Why am I backing away from my television? Nothing's going to happen to me here. And it's all just reputation of these people. And he's going after the guys and he's saying it, right? There's Steven Jackson, he says, take the do-rag off your head, pull your pants up, be a grown man. He just starts smearing them. He is laughing at the idea through sexism and all of the problematic language he used there of the idea of Matt Barnes publicly. You don't even hear it there. Matt Barnes publicly charging into his own house because Derek Fisher is, quote unquote, raising his kids. Treating a woman like property, which is the starting point on some of the problematic stuff with Matt Barnes, but Matt Barnes has a reputation of he'll go get wherever the fight is, he'll go get what he wants. And Kwame Brown is saying, no, I'm here for both of these guys. And he's Gilbert Arenas, he just flatly calls a white guy by way of insult.
Yeah, we have some sound on Kwame actually talking about because he's become a punchline and he's been so quiet throughout all of this, and now he's burst onto the scene, and it's like all of a sudden, how do the bullies like being bullied? Because bully culture has repercussions. Now he's turned into a bully himself, which isn't great at all, but I can absolutely get with Kwame on the notion that everyone's laughing at him. Twitter avatar is laughing at him. You don't know my story. You don't know what I've climbed to. Compared to you, I am not a bust.
In public, like, you try to make me look like I'm some groveling, begging, crying. You crazy as man, I done been in worse situations. I told you I was homeless. My daddy left me on the train track. The fuck is you talking about? Well, the train was gonna come. He said, you my son, you ain't scared of heights. My daddy was a real by the definition. So all that sensitive shit, I don't care about all that. Gilbert say I called him and say, don't pass me the ball because I'm afraid of five down. This is that. Bitch ass, I came off an injury. Go look at where my arm is covered with a black sleeve. All I'm trying to talk to my point guard, not this effeminate male, my point guard and say, look, the basket gets bigger when you get a layup. He listening to this shit about my hands are so small that he won't throw the lobs by the rim. The whole time I'm quick enough. I got the quickest feet you'd ever done seen. The whole time I can get to the rim, he won't throw it up. He'll throw a bounce pass or he'll dribble it out or he'll shoot it. He even said it. I'm getting a double-double a quarter with these same small hands, double-double in two quarters. Y'all go fact check me.
There is so much sound. That is not the best of it. I'm not kidding you when I tell you, like, the three clips we played are not the best of the sound when it comes to how personally he goes after all of these guys.
But to what Mike was saying, I think we can all find a place where we would support Kwame Brown if he would just deliver his message a little differently.
But we're watching because... No. We're watching a guy that we don't actually care about and talking about his humanity and hurt because we're like, oh, look at what the laughter's done to him. I'm interested what he's got to say because he's unhinged, because this is a man out of control. This is like Charlie Sheen. I've got to get to the train wreck so I can see the consequences of everything we've done to him, because he's done. Like, he's done on caring about anything, how anything looks. He's been quiet for so long. That's all the resentment gurgling forth in his car, smoking a hookah, saying, bleep all of you for laughing at me across decades. Like, I made millions of dollars doing this, and now these two guys are coming after me from the sport, coming after me when they know how hard it is to be a professional. The three guys, they know how hard it is to get up here, and you make me this weak, groveling, sniveling punchline all this time, and no, I'm not here for it anymore. Greg, your thoughts?
Well, it's brutal honesty, which I love. I mean, it's 20 years of escalating frustration on his part all of a sudden coming forth, and you rarely see that. You rarely hear that, especially from guys who've spent their lives being called a draft bust. They're usually quiet in the corners. They're usually not talking. And you also rarely hear the athlete-on-athlete crime, where you have one athlete talking about another athlete, let alone a former teammate, in this manner.
But my fear is that while we should be siding with Kwame Brown because he's right, we're not. Some people are not going to hear what it is Kwame Brown
that's
is trying
fine,
to say because they're focused on the unhinged Kwame Brown.
When you start on my fear, that's what my focus is, my fear. I'm watching all of this, and I'm like, oh, don't do that. Don't, Kwame, don't do that. And then I'm thinking to myself, oh, wait a minute. Do Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson really only want some of the smoke? Because I thought they wanted all the smoke.
Right. And is that podcast name available? Because I would love to host
I would love
some
to
of the
do,
smoke.
I would like to do I some
Kwame
of the... Knows. I love the idea of some of the smoke. And just sometimes Billy just walks away from the smoke because Billy's like, I don't want that, dude. I don't want any of the smoke. Like, I love the idea of a parody podcast opposite that one, the opposite of street credibility, which is I say things about the Astros, but then if you get me Bregman, I kiss his ass the entire interview.
It's called supodity.
Thank you.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
That was a long way to go to get to South Florida Enforcers.
I can't talk enough about this story. I want to get guests to talk about this story because this is going to keep
escalating.
It's going to be escalating. All of this stuff happening with Kwame Brown, because it's not like Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson are going to sit that out. Now, it's not like Gilbert Arenas
is they're coming back.
It's going to all escalate, but circling back around to where it is that we started on this, how many enforcers has South Florida had ever? One of the reasons that Udonis Haslam is so beloved by this is the idea of when Dwayne Wade got hard fouled, he got a game ball for being suspended for just taking out Tyler Hansbrough, which was the most cartoonishly funny thing. Tyler Hansbrough, we were always saying that he looks like somebody who shows up at basketball with a wrestling singlet. He's great at paintball and rolls around. He just looks funny for an NBA guy who's all try hard, but not a lot of grace, some clumsiness. We enjoyed Udonis Haslam, part of his story, being enforcer on behalf of the team. How many have we had in South Florida that have a mythology? Do you guys think of a lot of guys off the top of your head?
Yeah, I mean, I could think of two off the bat with Paul Laws and Peter Royal. I mean, on the same team. I mean, those two enforcers are pretty famous in this market.
Do we have enforcers? I guess we do with UD, but does football really, because it's so violent, have an enforcer? Was Darryl Gardner an enforcer?
I mean, he was terrifying.
He had smoke coming from his head.
Yeah, Tim Bowens were terrifying.
Yeah, Tim Bowens had some of that.
Brian Cox was one of those agitators. In the NFL, since everyone's an alpha male, you just have like people that get under opposing fan bases' skin. James Harrison stands out as like an alpha male amongst alpha males. That's a rare breed in football.
Who's the second guy for the Heat? If it's behind UD, is it Zoe? Is it PJ Brown? I'm trying to think who would be.
PJ's pretty good.
Zoe's pretty good.
Feared guys, Anthony Mason would have been high on the list for just guys that other guys ended up fearing more than Zoe, because although one of those moments I would say is that, man, they've changed these fights so very much. I was trying to explain this to Valerie last night, all the history of it, who Steven Jackson was. So I'm showing her the Malice at the Palace, and I'm going back through time and those Heat games when it was Larry Johnson and Alonzo Mourning, these giant men fighting in a way that made Jeff Van Gundy hang from Alonzo Mourning's ankles. And when I tell you the size of these men, I want you to understand that at some point in some of this, Jamal Mashburn explained one time that he was on the side of the court, on his side on the court, and looking at legs as they were all entangled. And Alonzo Mourning, he said, it looked like there was a horse, something with the calves of a horse in the middle of that fight. So you got giant human beings fighting, and Jeff Van Gundy is holding on to the leg of Alonzo Mourning. I miss that time in basketball. Is it wrong for me to miss that time?
No, that was a great time. Mash, Zoe. I'm wondering, did Valerie also laugh when Jamal Tinsley came out with a broom?
A dustpan. Has anyone seen a good documentary, a 30 for 30 documentary on the Malice at the Palace?
We've been told that. That's always been talked about, but the NBA's partnership with ESPN sometimes complicates that stuff.
Is that right? So that's what's happened. God, I remember that just so, so well. It's as strange as anything I've ever seen in broadcasting, where the night before when it happens, the broadcast team was absolutely disgusted with the fans. And then the next morning when it got Disneyfied, the whole language around that conversation was more horrified, because they're like, hey, Steven Jackson and someone who looks like Steven Jackson can't be in the stands punching customers. And the whole the immediate reaction of the broadcasters. I mean, I remember Stephen A. Smith, I'm watching and I'm like, how did this change this specifically in 12 hours, where they had one language the night before and somebody hit a button from the top of the organization? Hey, our partnership, Disney, we're not going to have tattoos and cornrows punching the fans and having all our broadcasters say, yeah, it's the fault of the customer.
Right. He deserved it.
This is the fault of because they threw a beer. They never should have thrown a beer at Ron Artest.
John Saunders, who's normally even keeled, went off on that broadcast. He called the fans punks. It was awesome to see, actually.
Yeah, but then it got less honest.
Yep.
Yeah. The next 12 hours, everything got a whole lot less honest. And I'd love to see an honest documentary of Jamal Tinsley just talking about his time running out on the court with a dustpan.
Just Tinsley, just that moment.
I want a mini documentary on just everything.
A short.
Everything Tinsley was thinking to himself as he said, "I'm gonna run out from under the bleachers with a stick and a dustpan, and who wants some?"
I'd watch that.
To answer your question, Dan, in terms of documentaries, the Showtime documentary about Ron Artest has exclusive footage of the Malice at the Palace. There has not, as such, been a documentary just about that, but the Ron Artest doc on Showtime had some of that.
And to just close this loop on John Saunders, here's that time Billy Ray Cyrus joined our show and learned of the news of his untimely passing.
Well, I think more what I wasn't ready for was the news that you just broke about John Saunders. I'm a huge fan. I'm actually a big fan of your show, and I, too, love your father. And I wish you guys would invite me down sometime. I love your dad so much. I watch the show all the time. You guys always entertain me. I laugh. I get involved. And, again, I love your dad. But John Saunders, I have to tell you, It's interesting. See, I'm an emotional person. That's what I write songs about. That's how I write my music. That's how I write for this show, Still the King. I write from my heart. And quite frankly, I was so excited. I'm sitting here in a studio, and I seen your name coming up, and I'm like, man, I love this guy. I love the show. I listen to you on the radio. I love the TV show when you're with your dad and the whole thing. But when you said John Saunders, my heart fell to the floor. And now, quite frankly, I can't even move to the other stuff because I love John Saunders.
Billy Ray, let's do this, okay? Because I've already made this clunky and awkward enough. Let's reschedule with this, and let's. I do want to talk to you. Let's talk another time. Let's talk later this week or when we don't have this in the middle of our conversation. Is that all right? Can we do that?
What I'd rather do is you just keep what I just said, and that's. I think we just did the interview, and I quite frankly, I'll come back anytime. I'll talk with you guys anytime, but please keep my tribute to John Saunders.
All right, there you go. Billy Ray Cyrus.
Did we get what you wanted in terms of South Florida enforcers?
No, but we did get what we wanted in terms of that sound, because you heard Billy Ray Cyrus say, keep what I just said as a tribute, and you should have seen the fight with ESPN. I kicked a lawyer. In order to get us that sound right there.
Just so that sound.
Because he said, yes, he
you
said.
You kicked an attorney.
Yeah, we would have left ESPN in November.
Yes,
if were not for the, if not, this they, single piece of litigation.
He demanded, he said, you keep this sound as a tribute. And I'm like, they didn't understand it, ESPN. I'm like, I need this sound. Yeah. I promised Billy Ray Cyrus.
Yeah, promised. And we posed it as like it was John Saunders' dying wish.
I have a personal relationship with John Saunders here, and I get to keep this part of how this is remembered.
There's like a tinge of Talladega Nights there with the Mike Honcho, because he just keeps hammering. I just want you to know that I love John Saunders in there. Kind of like I spread my butt cheeks apart as Mike Honcho several times over in a charming, endearing Southern accent.
Yeah, the other part of that, I don't think he has any relationship with John Saunders.
None at all.
I thought that
zero.
Was
no, none at all.
And he doesn't like our show.
I thought that was totally fake, all of that.
Hell of a tribute.
You think he has any idea that John Saunders is Canadian?
No.
No shot.
Zero.
The Pardon My Take guys like to celebrate football guys, people who are football guys, whether it's Mike Zimmer, and it's sort of a nod to the caveman leadership of bite my arm off and I will beat you to death with my remaining arm style of football. And I just don't believe in the history of the sport. There has been anybody who embraces this caveman, I will tackle you at the supermarket and fight you for no reason other than I want to bite your knees and ankles, then Dan Campbell, Man Campbell. I can't believe this has worked again, though. We saw what happened. We lived it down here in Miami. This guy talks a great game. It is master coach. But in the age of space age offense, this guy is still trying to out-tough you. And so he told the Pardon My Take guys that he wants to and has dreamt of bringing a lion to practice and that he'd probably lose an arm because of it, but that he still wants to do it. And I keep thinking to myself, while I want this style of coaching to laugh at and enjoy for the content business, I don't want it leading my team at a time of football evolution. Like, I need to stop Patrick Mahomes, and this guy wants to do it by biting the ankles of tight ends.
He only drafted tackles. I want him to win and win big. I do. I want Dan Campbell, old school, running the football, playing defense, drafting only offensive linemen. I want him to take down the Packers.
How did he talk his way in an interview into, again, fooling an ownership group with, I can out-tough you in this sport?
Right. That's fantastic. I have the visual image of him getting his wish with this lion, and the lion mauls Jared Goff. You know, it's just not going to be a pretty sight.
That would be very Lions.
Yeah.
This type of shit always works with owners. You kidding me? Rich guys are making an investment on the team, and the problem is the little guy not trying hard enough. So you need someone to make them tougher, because it wasn't your decisions that led them to this terrible run of decades on end for Detroit. It's the fact that you haven't had the right guy in place to make your decisions become good. good decisions. From bad to good, just with a little toughness.
I think the Lions are trying to find the opposite of Matt Patricia, who was supposed to be like defensive guru rocket scientist. So they just went full 180 and decided Dan Campbell, he's going to bite kneecaps. He's going to bring a lion to practice. He's our guy.
I'm going to ask it again. And I hate to ask it because I love the cartoon characters. There's nothing that delights me more in the building of content than a guy who's willing to be unrelentingly himself. But I will ask the question again. How did this work again? How did he win another one of these interviews?
He flexed.
Where he goes in there, right, shirtless, rips his shirt off, and I'm going to outman everybody. Even though I'm going to be standing on the sidelines, and what you need from me is math in fourth down situation, I'm going to give you toughness when you need math.
I think the question is, how is this the first time it's worked? Because he was only an interim coach before. He's had plenty of interviews. I mean, how is the outlier Detroit? Like, this guy's thoroughly impressive. If I'm an owner and I have no idea about X's and O's, I'm like, I'm hiring this guy.
Detroit is probably the shittiest NFL franchise, though. They're even worse than your Browns, Mike.
Not probably. Over, yeah. They've won one.
The certainly not probably, yeah. Because no. I don't know if you saw the playoff wildcard round.
Here we go.
Because they beat the shit out of Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers to the point that Ben Roethlisberger cried. Continue, Dan.
Oh, God. I don't have a rebuttal for that other than I hate you. Okay. That's all I can
Very
say.
Good.
I hate you.
So
I
that's,
hate
well, so now, that's good. No, good stuff. Now we're just slinging shit, are we?
Not okay. The greatest of
good.
Rebuttals.
You want to take another shot at my daughter?
The Lions are undisputably across sports the biggest failure over the last 50 years. One playoff victory in 50 years. I mean, Sacramento doesn't make the playoffs in basketball for 14 years. You're talking about a reign that has no precedent of incompetence. That is the signature failure franchise coming from the Ford Tough. It's coming from Ford Tough, the auto industry, what Detroit used to be. What just got hired in Detroit is a guy who comes off the factory line and eats bolts. But it's not 2021. I root for it to succeed. But that's not what's happening in that sport right now, where basically the drop back passer is being replaced by cheetahs at quarterback.
But to Jess's point, you had Matt Patricia come in with his pencils in his ears, and none of that stuff works. So you go back to, you know, a caveman. And Dan, you know what he does with pencils, Dan? He stabs people with them.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
what he
yeah.
does. Yes.
No, he'll put a pencil in an ear.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. Just jab your eardrum with it.
You know, Mike is so right about this. They want a change of culture, and that's what they always do. You want to go from the guy who has a pencil behind his ear to the guy who will jab his pencil behind your ear.
Do you think he had a PowerPoint? Like, slide number one. It's a Ford F-150. That's our identity. Slide number two is just, you're dead. Just, you're possessive dead. Slide number three, it's just a scene from Predator because I like that movie.
Slide number four is absolutely Schwarzenegger and Carl Weathers shaking hands in Predator.
Yeah. Yeah, and then in the middle, the Lombardi Trophy. All right? Let's get cracking.
Sold.
And he just burst through the door without opening it. And somebody asked, well, why didn't you just open the door? And it's like, because this is the more efficient route.
He just kicks the door
down.
We
don't open doors anymore.
Right. We run through walls.
He didn't actually say anything. There was a pencil on the table. He ate it just to see everyone's reaction.
Just like the movies, puts his one left hand on the table and then just stabs his pencil into the right hand and stares at you icily without even moving.
Is that Patricia's pencil? Yeah. I'm hungry.
Yeah.
Again,
his ear is still attached to you.
Again, though, in the age of leadership, right, as you have these guys running to the sidelines to get their corporate-sponsored computer to see what exactly the defense was doing, I'm asking you, how did this work again? Like, this is not the way to make leadership decisions. The guy with the pencil, he was weak. Where's the tough guy? Somebody find me the guy who will do the press conference shirtless and say he wants to have a lion to practice, because what difference does it make if you have only one arm, as long as that one arm can still kick your ass? Like, how is that working? I will ask you again. You can't have that running. I want it running a franchise, but it can't be the reason you're choosing. I need a culture change here. Just get me a meathead.
I actually picked you guys. All right, you didn't pick me. I was told we play in the same division as the Bears, and I'm hoping it's actual Bears, because I want those jerks twice a year.
This this is the manly man. I just heard the emergence.
So did I.
Where's
yes.
the manly man been in general? Because we was Man Campbell the source of the manly man? It might have been.
No, I think just my constant desire to replace Hawk and make you happy.
Man 101?
Man 101 was Mark Schlereth. Yes, but Manly yes. Manoff was born out of, just desire and survival.
Do we have any of that
oh,
sound?
Oh, do I have Man 101?
We wrestled that away as well?
Yeah. I've got Man 101, and I can probably fire up a Manly Manoff if you'd like to. It'd be funny if Jess wins it.
I think we should do Manly Manoff. How long has it been since we did a Manly Manoff around
here? Close to 10 years. Yeah, close to 8 to 10 years. Yeah. Man. All right, let me get some Man 101, though, for you, Dan.
How much do you miss Man Campbell, Greg? You want... and think what's going to happen in Detroit with Man Campbell trying to out-tough everybody. And one of the things that has made me laugh about it is through Bill Parcells and the Dolphins drafting a whole lot of offensive linemen. Like, this gets dumber and dumber in terms of you're going to actively draft people who are tougher than the other guys. It's an act of stupidity. And if they're not tougher than the other guys, that you, Man Campbell, are going to make them. After whatever it is that they've had to overcome in order to get in your huddle, that you're going to make them tougher than they were because you're Man Campbell.
Yeah, it's sort of silly. I think, you know, the template for me is Mike Tomlin. He's the tough guy coach who spent the last 15 years not smiling once, and they're just, you mentioned culture change. Every sad sack franchise starts with, we're going to change the culture around here. And the quickest way to do it sometimes is with toughness, right? The smart drafting comes later. It starts with the attitude, the toughness, and that's what they're going for. They got nothing to lose, the Lions.
You trust him on smart drafting, though? Like, he's got the toughness thing down, but you trust him on smart drafting?
I mean, I don't, because we've got no reason to trust him, or the people running the franchise. But I don't think it's a terrible strategy to start with, we want tough guys.
It's not a strategy, is what I'm saying. It's not a strategy.
It's his only strategy.
It's an attitude. It's all he's got.
Greg, it's not a strategy, is what I'm saying. Right. I'm going to go draft guys who, you know where I'm going to win in the margins in a salary cap sport? I'm going to win in the margins by being tougher than you in the margins. It's not a strategy.
Right. I can't argue with that, but it's a starting point. It's an attitude.
It's not. It's just
Dan,
bluster.
The guy's got one bullet in his chamber.
I understand.
It's the toughness bullet.
It's useless bluster.
Listen here, Brother Nature. We here at Man 101 don't believe in recycling unless you're talking about one cycle of steroids for breakfast and another cycle of steroids for lunch. Stop polluting my time with your paper straws and your rainforest and your Save the Turtles Coalition. It's called the environment, not the environment. And it don't need protecting. Because that starving polar bear is getting in just a quick 300 mile or so jaunt to get his protein, and maybe he thinks he looks better that way. Stop sending me in. It's sad. Gas up your Camaro and head on over to Mark Schlereth's Man 101. You're welcome.
That's the interview. They got him in an interview room.
When he broke glass.
And this is his actual audio from the interviews that got him the Lions job.
You ever watch the combine? All these so-called football players prancing around in their skivvies, worried about being aerodynamic and clocking a good 40. Here at Mark Schlereth's Man 101, the only sports where we hand you is a hard hat and a lunch pail. Protein shakes. We don't drink shakes. Why? Because we already got the best damn blenders on Earth. Our jaws. Butch up. I know life has its ups and downs. They're called squats. Now drop and give me 20. Mark Schlereth's Man 101. You're welcome.
We don't drink shakes. We cause them.
Listen up, kombucha breath. Doing your beat cram yoga and spinning classes and Pilates. We here at Man 101 get fit the old-fashioned way.
in a prison cell doing 10 quick sets of kicking your ass. You can take your dairy-free, lactose-intolerant rear home while we milk our own cow and then eat it. Push-ups, pull-ups, throw-ups. Diet? We might do that to our lumberjack beard, not our appetite. Kale salad ain't a man's food. That's what my dinner eats. Mark Slaris, Man 101. You're welcome.
How many of these did we wrestle away from ESPN?
Too many.
Do you want to take this outside? Well, you better, because here at Mark Slaris, Man 101, nothing we do is indoors. And you have Mark's personal guarantee that every student will be the first one in and the last one to leave. We're proud to announce that our workout program is 100% unaccredited and unlicensed. The only red tape we've got is used to hold your knuckles together. We will grab your face and put your nose to an actual grindstone. And after that, we've got a 2-hour session in which we only chop wood. Following that, our instructors will force attendees into a human chain and then physically pull them apart to literally find the weakest link and eradicate it. The morning session ends with us going to a farm and forcing everyone to grab a bull by its horns. Don't worry if you get gored. All world-class trainers will just rub some dirt on it. Mark Slaris, Man 101.
You're welcome.
We aired in having so many buzzsaw sounds.
Mark Slaris, Man 101, features an all-star cast of instructors to help you get the results you need. Tony Berselli's history class will show you that Rome could have actually been built in a day if those lazy Italians just had some elbow grease. And Warren Sapp's finance class will teach your mouth not to write checks your ass can't cash. We're not savages, though. We'll even allow you to recharge your batteries in our world-class spa. You've heard of saunas and mud masks? We kind of have that. Only we lock you up in Texas Tech's equipment room and just put your hand in the dirt. And remember, each day ends with Mr. Slareth chewing you up and spitting you out. So sign up right now for Mark Slareth's Man 101. The price is whatever you can afford, as long as you put your money where your mouth is. Enroll now and get 2 free tickets to the gun show. Which just means you get to look at Brian McCann doing some arm curls so long as you don't look him in the eye. Mark Slaris, Man 101. You're welcome.
Why was there a cow mooing in the middle of that?
That was odd. Yeah. Yeah.
Contextually, I thought it made sense.
Curveball, Cody? A curveball.
That's what we call him here in the production. In the production bullpen, old Curveball Cody.
How did you feel about the general subtlety of our overuse of the belch as a masculine thing?
Classic Curveball Cody.
I like the cut of your jib. You've realized you're not man enough. You need Man 101 in your life. It takes a real man to realize he made a mistake. But an even bigger one to realize that mistakes are the domain of the loser.
A toilet?
They're called mistakes, not Mr. Stakes.
What?
Trade in that Hyundai Sonata. Get yourself a Chevy Silverado and drive your Keyser to Mark Slaris, Man 101. And when you think you've arrived, you haven't. We trick Google Maps into thinking we're located somewhere we ain't. Why? Because here at Man 101, we'll always make you go that extra mile. Mark Slaris, Man 101. You're welcome.
Roy, thank you for putting in the chat a question that I was asking, and I'd like to ask the audience and everyone in the Zoom. Why are jibs being cut?
You know why real men rule the world? Because while you take vacation, we take deprivation. Alternative energy. Ed Orgeron has another name for that. It's called 17 Monster Energy Drinks.
You can keep your tiny little shriveled solar-powered Prius. Our monster truck named El Diablo farts and belches things like that. Why don't you Diablo that right out of your... Sorry. Cockroach here in the studio. Shoot that away. I'm not scared. Shoot it away from me. Oh, my God, it's fire! You're welcome.
Curveball, Cody.
There was a karate chop in there.
I love this.
The jib of a sailing ship is a triangular sail set between the four top masts head and the jib boom. Some ships have more than one jib sail. Each country had its own style of sail, and so the nationality of a sailing ship and a sailor's opinion of it could be determined from the jib.
Yes.
Each ship had its own jib.
Chris Whittingham is a fancy lad.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text THIN to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text THIN to 200-300. That's THIN to 200-300. THIN to 200-300.